Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to the 50,000-watt AM 670 KLTT, the most powerful Christian radio station in America. Today we're talking economics and specifically the Bush plan for private investment accounts as part of your Social Security retirement. So how do we analyze Bush's plan? Is it good for America? Will it strengthen us in our role in the world, or is it just a bad idea? To discuss that, we turn to CNBC's Jim Cramer of Kudlow & Cramer. Jim Cramer, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you so much, sir. Great to be here. Great to have your audience to hear my views, because it's a huge audience and it matters tremendously to me.
Mr. Cramer, I hesitated on the name of your show because it's really Mad Money now.
Yes, Jim Cramer's Mad Money. It starts on Monday, and the idea behind the show is you need extra money, and that show is going to help you make it. It's really a self-help show, and I really feel like I've been put on earth to do it, and I feel great about it.
Well, to give you a little kudos there, I have to pass on a hello and a thank you from one of your subscribers to your Stocks Under $10.
Love that. That guy, Will Gabrielski, who writes that newsletter, is just he's un fuego, so to speak. Doing a great job.
Well, the owner of one of the that's at your website, right?
TheStreet.com.
And the owner of one of Colorado's largest liquor stores, it's called Super Liquor Mart. It's a block from Columbine High School. The owner, Art Risley, he says that he's made a lot of money listening to you over the years. And Art runs the only Christian liquor store that I know of in Colorado.
You tell Mr. Risley thank you very much. That is terrific. And I hope to continue to do well for him.
Mm. Well, I will. And he's listening to you right now. So, Jim, we want to talk about private Social Security accounts. But first, today, regarding new bankruptcy rules, if that's okay, the Senate will vote today to hand President Bush a victory revamping bankruptcy. Do you think it's a good idea to make it more difficult to avoid paying credit card and other debts?
What I think about this is it reminds me very much of the great President Lincoln, who, when he fell into debt, rather than just cancel all his debts, he worked very hard over multiple years to pay back the people. He didn't feel that he should have a clean start. He felt indebted. This is what we're harking back to with this bill. I think the bill's a very good one.
Well, that's called integrity.
Exactly.
Honor and integrity.
You nailed that.
And, you know, in the past 10 years, bankruptcy filings, personal bankruptcy filings, have nearly doubled. To last year, it was 1.6 million people filed for bankruptcy. This is a pretty serious problem in America. And to give you an example, Jim Cramer, since you're talking to the religious right here, and you might not often do interviews on Christian radio, but then we don't often interview financial gurus.
Well, that's fine. I mean, obviously, I believe that many of your listeners believe in personal responsibility and think that shirking it is a great way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So laws that take that into account, I think you would think are pretty good, and that's how I come out.
Yeah, exactly. And in this regard, with bankruptcy, you know, we're often, we have a reputation of being absolutist. But to be fair, that's only with things like do not murder and do not steal. When it comes to bankruptcy, we see, many on the Christian right, see that there's an inherent immorality in the government saying to a private individual, you know what, you don't have to pay your credit card debt, you don't have to pay your Aunt Tilly or your mortgage, but you still owe us, the IRS, you still have to pay your taxes. Something seems unjust.
Well, I think that's right, and I think this is an issue of justice and fairness. I also want to point out that these same people make it expensive for all the rest of us.
Mm. Yeah, very good point.
You know, we had codified a very selfish act. The selfishness not being bankruptcy itself, which I think is fine. Give people a chance to a cooling off period. At one point in my life, I was in trouble with money. I was thrilled that my creditors let me have more time to pay. But I never think that walking away from something that you've done wrong is something that the law should back.
Yeah, and legally, it's reasonable for there to be a limit. You can't turn someone into a slave for the next 40 years of his life.
So no, but
we outlawed slavery, but there should be, it should not be that you could walk away and you owe nothing.
That's why I felt this was very good. I know that there are some people who believe, well, this is a windfall for banks. remember, we want credit to be affordable for everybody who works hard in this country. Mm-hmm. And the people who have abused the bankruptcy laws have made it so the credit is unavailable for many hardworking people because it's too risky. Mm-hmm. That's wrong. You get these bad actors and outliers out. It'll bring the cost of credit down, making it so the hardworking people in America who need loans, who should get loans, will be able to get them.
All right. So now let's get to Social Security. And again, we're talking to Jim Cramer of CNBC's Jim Cramer's Mad Money beginning this Monday. Jim, with you and Larry Kudlow, he's more the conservative. You're more the liberal, I think, in my analysis.
That's true.
But this idea of personal investment accounts coming from your side of the political spectrum, tell us what you think about
it. Okay, first, in total disclosure, I am a Democrat. Before I took this show, I was very, I was an active Democratic Party fundraiser. But I would tell you that many of that the party has moved far to the right of me. I applaud the president for taking this. I think it's a great move. I think that if it's done the same way that I've always been very jealous of my friends who work for the federal government, they have a thrift savings plan, which is going to be the model for what the president wants to do. It allows you to have some very good, very safe alternatives. Right now, what the government does with your Social Security money is basically put it in a cash account. I regard that as being derelict investing. One of the options will be bonds. One will be stocks. If you feel every one of the options will give you a better return than you currently have. So I just think the idea of that money sitting there idly, earning very little, is just not what America wants.
And if somebody is working, they work through their entire life, and they put this money away, and they're expecting a retirement, and then, they get hit by a car or different demographics. Some minorities, like black men, die a lot younger than white men, and then you lose it. It's gone. But if you're saving toward your own retirement and your own personal account, then that money, it belongs to you, and you could leave it to your children.
Right. And one thing I really want to point out is the notion of belonging has been a great American tradition. We have actively encouraged, through tax code and through organizations like Fannie Mae, the people own their own home. And we know that there's much good that comes from people who own their own home.
Right, exactly.
It's very similar. If we get people to be empowered to own their own pension plan, what will happen is people will make better judgments, right? Anytime you ever leave it to the government, anytime you don't worry about it, you don't do as good a job. I think that this is very important. I wish that we train people in high school, and if the president did this, I would love to see an educational course, a required course like health care, like individual health, where we explain to people how to balance a checkbook, how to balance savings, and the different options, because we need to make people to be smarter about finance in this country.
Well, what will that do if we become more of an ownership society so that people, they have some of their retirement in stocks and bonds? I imagine it would automatically make them more interested in the economy, in how things are going on Wall Street, on how profitable businesses are.
Right.
So how does that how will that affect? And that, I think, is one reason why the Democratic Party, which you said has moved far to the left of you, that's one of the reasons why they're against this, I think, because it's very pro-business.
Well, it is, and I think that one of the great misperceptions about this plan by the Democrats is that this is going to put people at risk. People can do a lot of crazy things with it over and over again. And I have met with the president's advisors on this because they know that I am a Democrat, but they wanted my input. I met with their advisors, and I said, that that there's no plan in this country as good as the thrift savings plan. They assured me that that's what this would be modeled on. If you take a look at the options, they're all very traditional. You can't buy individual stocks with it. You can't go buy options. It's all really good. Every option is better than the current option we have now. I defy you to explain why we should all stay with this bad option when we all have a chance to be able to do a little bit better.
Can we talk about what this would mean for the market and the value of the market? Because what we'll see is trillions of dollars being transferred into securities that over time and – so what is that going to do to the Dow?
One of the things that I always try to explain to people is while my politics, Democrat, Republican, all come down to one issue, which is I want everyone to do better. I want people to be, I want our children to be wealthier than we are, more prosperous, healthier. And what this does is that it would make it so that there would be more prosperity. The more prosperity is a just a classic rising tide lifting all boats. That's what we want out of this great country. When I think about how to stop poverty in this country, you want people to be, you want our stock markets to go up, to be vibrant markets where people can tap the markets, big companies, little companies, and hire people. Anything that provides more liquidity, more money into the system, and this would provide the biggest liquidity boost in history.
In history.
It's going to produce more jobs. Now, and that is what we should care about.
And that is a good thing, although let me paraphrase one proverb out of the Hebrew Scriptures. Great revenue apart from morality is worthless. So when we make money, and we want people to be prosperous, but we want to do it always principled way and not stealing. But let me ask you,
right,
of course.
And I think it's important to remember, this is, we're speaking all very long term. I think, no, this is not a get-rich-quick plan. I mean, what we're doing is building very big nest eggs for our people and for our children. I think, you know, very positive.
Right, exactly. Jim Cramer, could we talk for one moment about something that interests me, the market capitalization of a company? We're buying stocks, and we own a piece of a company. And when we look at that company, I worked for Microsoft for a while in the late 80s. I had 5,000 stock options, and then I went into this business, Jim. And if I would have stayed there, those stock options, they've split about seven times since.
Right.
They're worth about $38 million today.
Holy cow.
But you know what? I don't regret it at all. And my wife and I just, we are thrilled with our lives, and we're helping people in big ways. So anyway, when we look at the value of a company and we see, wow, when I'm buying that company at this price, $68 a share, that company is going to have to produce profits for the next 82 years before I get my investment back. And I'd like to talk through, just for a moment, when we value a company, isn't it true today that a company is a lot more than just the profit it makes from the widgets it sells?
Oh, definitely. That's the revenue stream, and the money it makes is defined by how much it costs them to make it versus what they sell it for. But what I like to tell people to simplify things, but not to oversimplify, but to simplify things, is that there are two streams. You have the capital appreciation, how much the stock goes up. Microsoft went up many, 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 many times. But what I urge people to do is look at the other stream, which is the dividend stream. Try to find companies that that return capital to you every single year and reinvest that capital into the stock. And that's how you can become wealthy over the long term. Pretty much half of the gains of the market come from dividends over the last 50 years. And people should be, who are not that familiar with the market and they want to get started, please try to find companies that pay good dividends.
Yeah.
That's the way to get into this.
And, well, Microsoft with, what do they have, $1 billion in cash?
Yep, they paid a $3 dividend last year, which was really fabulous.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. For those who don't even know, dividends are when you own stock and they send you a payment because you're one of the owners of the company.
Right, and I want to emphasize to people that I may sound like I can be an aggressive guy, but my bedrock position on stocks is that I really don't want to own stocks that don't pay dividends. Now, that's going to occasionally knock me out of some really quick growth stocks, but I can't. I have very strict rules against trading.
Well, that's,
I need to own.
That's reasonable and responsible. Jim, one thing I'd like to add with the real value of a company is this. It's not just, it's no longer just the value of the company, how much money it could make in its business. Because prosperity is increasing in America, China, around the world, and at such historic rates, a significant part of the value of a company is that's where I could invest and save for my retirement. In other words, Microsoft, let's say Microsoft is worth X. As a software developer, they sell software. But as a safe place for my retirement, they might be worth 10x or
Absolutely.
20x. And now when the market, if these changes come into law, then over time, trillions of dollars going into the market, what that means is we're desperately looking for safe places to put our retirement. And Microsoft ends up, or pick your successful company, ends up way more valuable as a responsible repository for my investment than it even is as a business.
Yes, and I think that what you're talking about is something I like to put it in a way that from what I learned from my economic classes, this is not a zero-sum game. Mm. This is a pie that is expanding.
Right.
And so everybody gets a little bit more. And that's really good news.
Could you explain some of this to your liberal friends a little more often when
you're
talking
to
them?
It's so hard. I mean, look, it's so funny because John Corzine was my boss, and he's terrific. He's my senator from the state of New Jersey, and he knows all this stuff. But I think he feels cowed by the liberal people who anytime you try to talk about prosperity and how everybody can do better, they think that's a giveaway for the rich.
Yeah, they don't like it because it comes down to basic principles, and they prefer people depending upon government.
Right. And, you know, to me, the government is something – look, I want a safety net, and one of the reasons why I remain a Democrat is I worry – I mean, I was not wealthy all my life. I like some of the principles of the party, but when it comes to money, my party is awful.
The safety net has become a hammock. And, Jim, we're almost about out of time, but when I said that we're absolutist on certain issues, we in the Christian right, I mean things like do not murder and do not steal, things like that.
Well, no, I mean, look, these are bedrock issues that –
yeah, and in
there's right and wrong in the world, and I am not a moral relativist. There are right things and wrong things.
And that's great. And just to let you know, even regarding this, Bush's move with these private accounts and Social Security, in our perfect world, the government would not force you to spend your money in a certain way, even though it's for your own good. So we prefer that the market open up and that people would work harder and work smarter when they realize that the government isn't taking care of them and our prosperity would increase significantly in America. But this is the reality we live in.
I know. Look, the government, I want them to provide a strong defense, just like what it says in the Constitution.
Yeah.
If they can help promote the general welfare, fine. But I do not want welfare itself.
They stand in the way. Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Jim,
my pleasure.
His show starts Monday. Jim Cramer's Mad Money on CNBC. So he's left Kudlow and Cramer to do his own show, Jim Cramer's Mad Money. And you see what happens when you've got liberals in the media when they're experts and it comes closer and closer to the bottom line. What actually works, right? When you're a financial advisor, if your ideas don't work, then you're going to lose your market. You're going to lose your subscribers. You'll lose your customers because you're losing them money. So as a liberal, the closer and closer you come to the bottom line, the more and more conservative they become. That's just the way it is because we're dealing in reality. Now, I'd like to go from the discussion of America's Social Security and, yeah, in our perfect world, the government would not say, now, we're going to force you to spend your money in this way and because it's for your own good. The government doesn't have that role. It shouldn't. Not justly. What should the government do? Well, what Jim Cramer just said there, they're to provide for the national defense. So the government, they have two just functions, to defend our rights from criminals and foreign enemies, so to protect us from criminals and invading armies, and like Al-Qaeda, for example, so to defend our rights and to provide infrastructure, like roads and bridges and waterways, and manage, regulate the airwaves, which stations can transmit on which frequencies. Otherwise, you couldn't have radio or TV or cell phones. You couldn't have that. So there are shared resources that the government has to manage. It has to, because, you know, water, people need water to live, and rivers need to be managed so that everyone can get a share of the water flowing through the river that's flowing on the edge of a desert. So the government has to do that. And we need to be able to travel from the East Coast to the West Coast in order to have freedom, liberty. We need to be able to travel. And to do that, you have to put roads and bridges through what otherwise would be private property. You have to be able to get from New York to Los Angeles. I don't know why you'd want to go to L.A. No, of course you might. So in order to do that, the government has to be able to provide infrastructure, shared resources that we all need that private property owners cannot provide. They can't do it. You say, okay, I'll let a road come through my ranch here. I've got 3,000 acres. I'll let a road go right through my ranch. And the guy next to you, just to the west of you, he says, well, I won't. So then you got a road. It's 1.2 miles long, six lanes, and nothing goes into it. Nothing comes out of it. It's just one chunk of road. Well, we need the government to do things like that. And it's the government's just function to provide judges to determine whether or not we've been robbed from or assaulted, whether someone's been murdered. So criminal justice, both domestically and foreign, like Al-Qaeda and gang members or thieves, that's the valid function of government and infrastructure like roads. The Bible, God says, build good roads. And he says that in the context of criminal justice. So you could function. So the government could go get the bad guys. So those are the only two just functions of government. Now, how about something like, let's say, education, right? Educating kids. Now, that's an important, everybody would agree that's important. Just like feeding kids is important, clothing them is important. All these things are crucial. And liberals think, well, the government should do pretty much everything. Let the government control pretty much everything, all aspects of our commerce, our lives, from cradle to grave. Let the government take care of us. And what happens then is not only, well, for one, it's immoral, it's wrong. But two, it's ineffective, because then everything the government does becomes extremely expensive. Education costs what, $8,000 to educate a kid in a large classroom a year, when private schools could provide better academic education on half of that, a third of that, some of them, or even less? And homeschoolers provide the best academic education on what, a tenth of that or less than that? So when the government comes in and says, don't worry, we're from the government, we're here to help, then the education deteriorates and the expense goes up. And when the government says, we're here to make sure that you're okay when you retire, well, you know what tens of millions of people do? They don't think about their retirement. They don't have to, because the government will do it. The government will make sure we're okay when we get older. And if the government didn't do that, then tens of millions of people, families, would think more about retirement and about savings. And even though there's plenty of irresponsibility, when the government takes over and the government says, we'll take care of you, that increases irresponsibility. In reality, just like Jim Cramer becoming, you know, increasingly conservative as he's involved with the bottom line, the harsh reality of whether there's money or not, then people become more conservative. They see the value in right-wing Christian principles. So that's why Christians, Christian activists, Christian authors tend to be interested in economics and money. Now, the Bible talks a lot about money and the economy. What makes the economy go round? What is the economy? The economy is when we serve one another. The Bible says serve one another. When you serve one another, that's the economy. Somebody comes and paints your fence. You want it, your fence painted. And so a 16-year-old kid in the neighborhood, homeschooler, he comes. He wants to paint your fence, not because he's tired of seeing your fence faded. No, but because he wants to buy some new skates for hockey. He wants new hockey skates. And so you're not going to give him new hockey skates because you don't want to go watch him play hockey. And he doesn't care about your faded fence. But if he serves you and paints your fence, and then you pay him, and then he goes and gives money to somebody who made skates, and we're all serving one another, that's what makes the economy go. And, you know, the people who make skates, they don't want to watch that kid skate either. They're doing it because he's going to pay them, and the economy is when we serve one another, and that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about, teaching people to serve one another, not just to make money, but righteously, with honor, integrity, and in honor. And yeah, we do prosper if we follow these biblical principles. And money, what is money? Money is a transferable IOU. That's what money is. That's all money is. Money is no more than that. It's no less than that. Those who think money is precious metals, money is really gold, they're wrong. It's not gold. You can use gold as money if you'd like, but it's a very expensive way to write an IOU. Right? If you're going to write an IOU, you don't want to write it with gold ink on precious parchment. You just want to make sure you have an IOU that's effective, that's not easy to defraud people and come up with your own IOUs. And also you want to make sure that that the value of that IOU is reliable. That's not going to fluctuate wildly, as sometimes happens with gold. When, for example, there's a new discovery of gold and huge amounts of wealth flow to some guy on some ranch who was previously broke, and now he's a multimillionaire. Okay, so anyway, we're getting a bit far afield, but finance, the economy, what is the economy? It's when we serve one another. Private property is inherent in God's command, thou shalt not steal. Money is the accounting of incomplete transactions. Money is transferable IOUs. That's what money is. So all these things are straightforward. We could know as Christians, as we better understand God and His Word, what our position should be on different financial issues and policies. And so am I in favor of the privatization, these private investment accounts in Social Security? Well, the government has no right to force us to save for our retirement. It has no right to do that. And because it does that, we're increasingly irresponsible. But since the government is doing that, and then they say either we're going to take all the money and use it as we want, or we'll take it and we'll force you to save a third of it, a quarter of it in your own account, well, then somebody might say that's a little less egregious, but it's still wrong. And sometimes when you do wrong and you modify it so it's not as offensive, that actually makes the wickedness last all the longer. So, yeah, we're stuck with it. It'll most likely become law, and it'll drive up the market. So if you've got stocks, I wouldn't be shorting the market right now. I'd go long. And if Bush's plan becomes law with bankruptcy, that'll help the economy. And with these private accounts, it'll help the economy. Okay, we're out of time. Hey, March 19th, we got a predestination seminar coming up in Denver and in Indy April 2nd. So are you predestined or do you have free will? You will love it if you come on out to this predestination free will seminar. Call us at 800-8-NYART to register or online at kgov.com. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school, 431-5653.